Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Hello, this is Stephen O'Doherty with a great scientific detective story. No one has seen a long-beaked echidna in Australia for as long as we can remember. But hidden away in a collection in the Natural History Museum in London, there's a specimen of a long-beaked echidna, apparently collected in Western Australia in 1901. Well, what to do? Professor David Watson is an ecologist from Charles Sturt University, and later this year, he'll head up an expedition to the Kimberleys to try to find this elusive creature. Now, your average echidna weighs in at 5, maybe 6 kilos, but the long-beaked echidna, by contrast, is a real whopper.
You know, they're knocking on the door of 15, 16 kilograms.
15 or 16 kilograms?
Oh, they're whoppers. And they're hairy, they're very heavily built, and they've, as the name suggests, they've got a very long snout. They're rainforest species, they eat worms, they eat large insects that they find in the leaf litter of rainforest.
So the only problem is that no one's actually seen one for a very long time.
Well, we have, but just not here. So they're in New Guinea. And if you look at all the textbooks, that's the story. It's a New Guinean thing, like birds of paradise, like all those crazy things in New Guinean forests. But then this specimen appeared that was collected in 1901 by one of Walter Rothschild's collectors, who was touring from Western Australia, from the south, all the way up to the top end. And there it was. It came back on a ship, and it was a long-beaked echidna with a tag that indicated it was collected in the West Kimberley.
So this specimen has been taken by ship to the UK, and then somewhere in the early 1900s, people just forgot about it?
Exactly, and there's a lot of this. So the fellow who did that detective work, Chris Helgen, he used to be a curator of mammalogy at the Smithsonian Institution. He's just moving to Australia now. He's back in Adelaide, where he's taken up a professor's position at the University of Adelaide. Mm. And he's the fellow who, in the Natural History Museum in London, was working on long-beaked echidnas in New Guinea, went through all the major European collections to look at specimens, found this one that had a Kimberley locality on it, and immediately thought, oh, look, there's an error. There's a mistake has been made. Label got switched. Something silly happened back in the history. But tracked it back and looked at the kind of rag paper that the tag was on, the handwriting, the collector's tag that was still on the animal, and demonstrated that, no, that fella Tunney, Rothschild's collector, was there. We know he was there in the Kimberley. There's other things he collected, you know, proper Kimberley things that we know about. And there's this New Guinean rainforest behemoth in the mix.
So now we have a mystery. We have something that we haven't seen.
We've got a mystery.
No one remembers seeing one in Australia.
No, we've never.
But there's a specimen from the Kimberleys.
It's a smoking gun. Yeah. It's a smoking gun, and in biogeographic terms, that's yesterday. 100 years ago is not that long ago. And the Kimberley, anyone who's ever been near it knows that it is a very complicated place from a topographic point of view. There's a lot of gorges, there's a lot of escarpments, lots of islands, almost 3,000 islands. Yeah. So if I was a big hairy mammal, I could think of no better place to hide than the Kimberley.
So your job now is to head out to the Kimberley, and I presume you don't just sort of wander around in the bush going, here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
No, it's quite a production. So I guess the most important thing is animal welfare. So the last thing we want to do is to add to the stress of this animal, if it is still there.
Well, it might not be stressed at all.
Indeed.
It might be perfectly happy.
But our ethical concerns are foremost.
Oh, yes, of course.
In an ecologist's mind when they're thinking about doing this sort of work. So we're going about this in an indirect way. We're planning on using two techniques to look for this beast. Motion triggered cameras are now a routine part of an ecologist's toolkit.
Right, this is in lieu of traps.
This is in lieu of traps. We're not going to be using any traps for. We're not going to try and capture a live echidna. Got no interest in doing that. Instead, we're going to deploy these traps, these camera traps, I should say, in areas that are likely, and leave them. Leave them for months on end, and anything that blunders in front of them takes a selfie. And we can then come along, have a look at that and go, okay, so what have we got?
Hashtag here I am.
Bingo. So that's plan A. Plan B is to train a dog to detect long-beaked echidna scats. Echidnas defecate a lot. They've got quite a high throughput, and there's already a short-beaked echidna scat finding dog. And we've just been in touch with the good people at Taronga Park Zoo in Sydney that has a captive long-beaked echidna that was collected from the wild in New Guinea ages ago, and will be ferrying fresh droppings from that animal to our dog trainer in the south coast of New South Wales and training up this dog to find long-beaked echidna scats. And that we'll use that in partnership with the cameras to go for, okay, this seems to be, we're getting some excited signals from the dog. Let's plonk some cameras in this rainforest gorge.
On Open House, our guest is Professor David Watson, and he's in hunt of the elusive long-beaked echidna. Well, it might not be elusive at all, actually, now that I think of it. It's like probably just sunning itself there in the Kimberleys, and suddenly along comes a scat-hunting dog and a camera and a big social media crew. But in all seriousness, you want to take people with you, but it's hard to take folk out into the field. But your contention is that people should get excited about science like this.
Yes, well put. And I think so much of science is done behind closed doors. The successes, the failures, the eureka moments, and we selectively report the good stuff, and sort of tend to overlook the disasters or the failures or the things just didn't work properly. So let's all move on. And I think this is an opportunity for the field side of ecology to bring a wider audience along with them for the ride. And so we'll be doing as much as we can from the field to bring that thrill of the chase to the wider community, you know, internationally. And I should say that as well as a very small chance of finding this mythical creature persisting in Australia, we fully anticipate there will be discoveries of other things. Very few ecologists have gone into the areas where we're going, and we'll be using helicopters to access pockets of rainforest surrounded by cliffs and inaccessible islands that can't be reached by boat. And we'll be the first ecologists in there. And so there'll be no doubt that there will be undescribed populations of plants and animals. So there'll be all sorts of cool stuff happening in the field, with the cherry on top being the echidna.